Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Thursday night. Your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames fall for the first time in regulation 4-2 as they drop this one to the Carolina Hurricanes. Pat Steinberg along with you, and let's go immediately to the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. We're joined by Flames defenseman Jake Bean after this one tonight. Jake, really appreciate the time. How did you see this one playing out this evening?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. We probably played 45 minutes of that game the way we wanted to play, and that's probably that's not going to get you the win on most nights. So,
what allowed your group to get back into the game? What was kind of the catalyst for your group starting to play the way you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, we believe in our dressing room. We've had a couple comeback wins already this year. We know kind of no matter what the score is, we can come back. So we have a lot of belief, and we just didn't do it soon enough, unfortunately, tonight.
And as you fell down 3-0, Jake, kind of what was the culprit in that happening?
Yeah, we probably just weren't playing north enough. They're a hard checking team, 2-on-2 all over the ice, always on top of you. So you got to be stubborn, or you can't be stubborn in your plays. You just gotta chip pucks in, get behind them, and play a bit of a boring game, and we probably need to do that a little bit sooner. So
walk us through your goal here, Jake, and kind of what you saw on that second period goal that got your group back in the game.
Yeah, we won the draw back. We were gonna go three high, but they do a pretty good job off of coverage off their face-off, so we didn't have much. Backs had a good screen in front, and I just tried to get a good shot on net.
And finally, Jake, it's your first regulation loss of the season. What's important for the group to respond the right way on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's important that we kind of learn from this, understand that we give them 15 minutes of not our best. That's not going to get you wins in this league. So we're going to have to flush this one and get back to it Saturday. We know what we have to do to win.
Jake, really appreciate the time. Good luck on Saturday, hey?
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
That is Jake Bean, post-game following a 4-2 setback against the Carolina Hurricanes. He joins us from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Flames Talk postgame is underway. Just want to say one more time hello to Megan Mickelson and the rest of the Mickelson family as on this Thursday they said goodbye and celebrated the life of Megan's mom. So Mick not able to be with us on the broadcast on this Thursday. She'll be back with us for the Jets game on Saturday. So it's just Pat Steinberg and Derek Wills along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And Willsy, the marquee matchup coming into this game, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, was toughest test yet for the Flames. I think that ended up being the way this game went, and the Flames fell down 3-0, which in the end is the reason why they don't come away with 2 points, and yet they fought hard and they played their tails off in the back 38 minutes or so of this game, and were that close to maybe making this thing interesting, hey?
Yeah, I mean, they have certainly proven that they are a resilient team, and they did not give up on this game despite being pretty badly outplayed for most of the first 22 or 23 minutes. I didn't mind the first 5 minutes of the first period, but then the Hurricanes really got on their game and I thought dominated the rest of the opening period, and then they scored two more goals early in the second to take a 3-0 lead, and then I thought the Flames played well after that, but just turned out to be a little bit too little, a little bit too late.
And that toughest test is our marquee matchup, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clearout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. Let's say hello to Flames goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera, who joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge on our Flames Talk postgame show as well. Barb, just your thoughts on this one. The group fights hard but unable to battle back. How'd you see this one from your vantage point?
Yeah, I thought there were stretches where we were playing well, and I thought, you know, there were stretches where they kind of took the game over at times, especially at the start, obviously at the start of the second period. You know, they're a good hockey team. They put a lot of pressure on you. They don't give you a lot of time and space. I thought at times we had a hard time with that, with our puck management and, you know, our 50-50 battles and those sorts of things. And we came out on the wrong end tonight.
What kind of allowed you to get back in this game? What was, in your eyes, the catalyst to that?
I think we managed the puck better. Like I said, there were stretches during the game where there was just no time and space. And I mean, that's how they play. Like, they're up in your face. They pinch on everything. They're a hard team to play against. And we knew that going in, but once the guys sort of realized that, okay, we got to be a little bit harder with the pucks, make a little bit, you know, smarter plays, play a little bit more north instead of going east-west. You know, I thought we got the puck in their end and forechecked them pretty good at times. And we did have some zone time in stretches, but obviously it wasn't enough.
I think you'd agree that the Hurricanes have been one of the fastest teams, if not the fastest team in the league, for quite a few seasons now. And in the past, I've had players tell me that it can take a period, sometimes even longer, to adjust to the way they're playing. Do you think that still applies today?
Yeah, it's a different pace that they play, for sure. I mean, they've been one of the top teams in the league for a long time here, and you know that going in. I mean, you know how they're going to play, and even if you know it, it's different. It's one thing to know, it's a different thing to feel it. And I thought at times, again, their speed and their pressure certainly got to us.
I was anxious to see Martin Pospisil move from center back to the wing, playing on the left side of a line with Nazem Kadri and Andre Kuzmenko tonight. What did you think of Pospisil and of that line?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they played together last year at times and had some success. And I think you're trying to get Kuzi and Naz going a little bit. And Pospisil's kind of that guy that you can throw in any line, and he brings a lot of energy, and he's physical, and he gets in on the forecheck and turns a lot of pucks over. So, I thought, at times I thought Nas certainly had some chances tonight.
Chatting with Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, following tonight's 4-2 setback against Carolina. I know that he had allowed three goals in the first 22 minutes, but what more can you say about the way, A, he closed the door and just how Dan Vladar continues to look like he's right on it? What did you make of Dan's game tonight?
Yeah, I liked his game management. I think it's something that he's learned over the years. I think we've seen it this year for sure in those situations where it's 3-1, you're feeling the heat at the start of the second period, and he shut the door the rest of the way. And I think in the past, maybe those kinds of games would get away from him and get away from the team a little bit. And he dug in and he battled. He made some big saves, and he kept the game at 3-1, and that's a good sign for a goaltender.
What's the key to doing that? Like, what's the key to getting yourself so that you can manage a game like that?
It's all mental. Like, it's you're. Like I said, it's if you're feeling like you're underwater a little bit when you look up, and you just feel all that heat and pressure coming at you, and you can sort of not necessarily feel sorry for yourself, but you sort of get away from the things that you need to do, and just you're looking at the score. And that's one thing we talk about a lot, is like, don't play the score, just keep playing. You got to keep playing. It doesn't matter. We can deal with the score after the game, but you got to just dig in and keep making saves and worry about the next save. And so far this year, he's done an awesome job with that, and that's a good sign for him.
We had Brad Larson in here post-game on Tuesday, and he said, yeah, we won, but we probably didn't play our best game against the Penguins. And I thought maybe the last few games the Flames were good enough to win, but maybe not where they wanted to be. So you lose for the first time in regulation time this season as you get set for the finale of a three-game homestand on Saturday. What would you like to see from the guys with the best team in the league so far this season, the Jets, coming to town?
Yeah, I think just more consistency. I think, I mean, it is early and you're still, finding your way, but just, 60 minutes of consistency, I think. And I mean, every team's looking for that right now. And, there's stretches again, like tonight, there were stretches where I thought we were really good. And there were stretches where it got away from us a little bit. So finding a way to, our start was good for the first 10 minutes, and then it kind of got away from us for the last 10 minutes. So just finding ways to be more consistent with how we're playing and all the little details to your game.
It's your first regulation loss. Last one for you. What's important now to respond the right way?
I mean, I'm a silver linings guy, so you're always trying to find, positives. Obviously, there's things you can learn from in games like that. And as a group and as individuals, and But you try to find the good things that you did and keep building off of. I mean, we've played some pretty good hockey here for the first couple weeks of the season, and you can't get away from, just because you lost a game doesn't mean you get away from how you play and what your identity is and again, all the little details that come into play. So you just got to stick with it and keep grinding.
Thank you, Barbs. Good luck on Saturday.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge on our Flames Talk postgame show following a 4-2 setback against the Carolina Hurricanes. It's Steinberg and Derek Wills on your Flames Talk postgame show. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska here very shortly. We'll get to your phone calls and your texts and a whole lot more. Willsy, first of all, before I forget, because I absolutely will if I don't do it now, you've got the very important shoes to fill on the hardest working Flame tonight. Megan Mickelson not with us, so almost certainly she'd be wearing aloe shoes. So who is your hardest working Flame tonight?
Well, it's a tough one because I thought the most dangerous line from start to finish for the Flames was the Kadri line. He centered Pospisil and Kuzmenko tonight, and even when the Flames were underwater in the first period, it looked like those three guys were going, and it looked like Ryan Huska was trying to, whenever he had a chance to, whether it be coming out of a TV timeout or just for a regular shift, get that Nazem Kadri with Martin Pospisil and Andre Kuzmenko line on the ice. We know that when he's right, he is the driver of that line, so I'm going to go with Nazem Kadri, even though he finished -2 in this hockey game. He had 7 shots, a team-high 7 shots, 11 attempts, won 50% of his faceoffs, which is actually something to celebrate against a Hurricanes team that had won, 80% of the faceoffs?
After 20, yeah,
20 minutes tonight. And played at 19 minutes and 14 seconds. So I'm going to go with Nazem Kadri as my hardest-working Flame this evening.
So Nazem Kadri gets the nod for hardest-working Flames Flame on this Thursday night. Let's pick up there because that line, I think, is a real positive jumping-off point for the Flames. You know, we talked on the roundtable today about moving Pospisil away from center. They moved Pospisil away from Huberdeau and Mantha, and they moved him onto the Kadri line on the left side with Pospisil and Kuzmenko. And best line tonight for the Flames, and, you know, for the first night back together since last season. That was a real positive. Just picked up where they left off late last year.
Yeah, and I thought Andre Kuzmenko, as I get marbles out of my mouth, was dangerous tonight. He's got such great edges and so much skill, and he was trying to make things happen. And on the other wing, Martin Pospisil looked comfortable, sliding from center to the wing again, and looked like the same guy who we saw during his rookie season, using his feet to get into the forecheck and bang and crash. And it looked like he was thinking a little bit less tonight, Pat. And when you move to center and you have some different responsibilities, I think as you make that transition, you make that adjustment, I think you can get caught thinking. And I don't think there's a coincidence, the timing of the move, with him going from center to the wing, playing in a game against the fastest team in the league, the Hurricanes. You just don't have time to think out there. You just have to react. So I like that line. I'd like to see that line stay together.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the Flames do. So both Yegor Sharangovich, who has missed the first 7 games of the season, and Sam Honzak, who's missed the last, 4 games
four
now?
4 games now, yep.
They skated today. So how close they are, we don't know, but the fact that they skated with the team certainly is a positive sign. If Sharangovich is ready to come back, whether it be on Saturday or maybe on Monday when the Flames start a 2-game road trip, I would think long and hard about putting him at center, because outside of struggling in the faceoff circle, I liked his 200-foot game when he played up the middle last season. And I know that some, including you, might argue that you think he can be more effective on the wing, but
you know what, though? In this case, I'm kind of where you are. I mean, if you don't want to take Zeri off that backline, and I understand that, that's kind of your last option in a lot of ways, and that allows you to put, I guess, Kirkland back down to the fourth line, perhaps?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I do think that in some situations, Sharangovich, with that shot that he's got, can be more dangerous playing on the wing. But I also think you kind of need him more at center right now, because you've been searching for another centerman in your top 9. And I just think he would fit the bill. So we'll see what, we'll see, first of all, if he's ready to come back Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, whenever. And if he is, if they do slide him in at center, I thought Justin Kirkland did just fine playing between Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Mantha, at least to start the hockey game tonight. But that would be one option for the Flames. But they played against a really good team tonight, and I liked the first 5 or so minutes. And Jason LaBarbera said he didn't mind the first 10 minutes of the hockey game. The Hurricanes took over the first period after that, scored those two goals in the first 2 minutes of the second. But then I thought the Flames adjusted to the pace, found their legs, found their game, and made a game of it. So I do give them a lot of credit for that. But then kind of at the end, the Hurricanes, some teams can't flip the switch. Once it's off, it's off. I think about the Canucks in the season opener. They turned the switch off at 4-1, and when they needed to flip it back on, they weren't able to. The Hurricanes, up 3-2 late in the third period, flipped the switch again, and were able to close this game out. So they deserve credit for that.
And you know, I know they did end up making it 4-2, but a couple of times before the empty netter, Dan Vladar had to make a couple of big stops, which is maybe the last place before your final thoughts, Willsy. And I named Zary the third star. I almost named Vladar the third star. He still ends up making, I think, he still ends up making 39 stops in this game. 39 on 42 for him.
40 on 43 I've got.
Oh, that could be correct.
Because of the empty netter, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. So a really solid night for Dan Vladar. And as we heard Jason LaBarbera talk about, you know, managed the game well, and he did shut the door, and the Flames don't have a chance of sniffing a comeback, which they came a goal away from doing if Vladar doesn't shut the door after 3-0.
Yeah, it's funny. At 3-0, I said to you on the broadcast that I thought Dan Vladar was the Flames' best player. The Hurricanes just overwhelmed the Flames, and I thought it could have been more than 1-0 following the first period, and certainly more than 3-0 22 minutes into the hockey game. So I thought he gave them a chance to battle back and make it 3-2. And even at 3-2, to your point, I thought he made some big saves. And that one save where he made coming across the crease from his left to his right, he didn't look all that comfortable after making that save.
I think he's okay.
I'm hoping he's all right.
Logan just came back. Logan Gordon just came back from the locker room. Loco, from what I've heard, I think he's okay. The fact that he talked post-game is another
That's
indication
a good sign.
To that.
Yeah.
What did Dan have to say?
Yeah, he did address that post-game. He said he's just cramping. Busy 25 minutes to start the game, and said he's been on the ice a lot the last couple days, actually. So it was going to be something of his on Friday to talk to Barbs, actually, about how much he skated this week. He said no injury concern, just cramping for him at the end of the game. You could kind of see that.
It's good news.
Who can blame him for cramping after that game?
Yeah, he was definitely worked very hard in this game this evening.
But, I mean, we're 7 games into the season, guys, and the biggest question mark for most, including myself, at the start of the season was goaltending.
Yep.
I would say 7 strong performances by Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf.
7 quality starts. Yep, no doubt about it. Okay, next up, the Winnipeg Jets. They'll be in here on Saturday for a big game against the Flames, two of the best teams to start the year in the Western Conference. As we're talking right now, Winnipeg is leading in their game against Seattle, so they could be unbeaten when they come in here. Don't know as we're talking right now. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska here very shortly, but first, some final thoughts from you, Mr. Wills.
Well, you touched on it. And I will for the final time, but just my deepest condolences, our deepest condolences on behalf of everybody here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan go out to our broadcast partner, Megan Mickelson, and her family, to her father, Bill, to her sister, Jillian, to her brother, Brendan, to her kids, the only grandkids of Bill and Elizabeth Calder in Berkeley. They had to say their final goodbye to Elizabeth Mickelson today, who passed away too soon at the age of 75. She lived a wonderful life. It was great hearing some stories today. It was a wonderful service. And I got to tell you how proud I am of Megan. I'm not surprised. I'm just proud. She's been incredibly strong for her dad and for her sister and her brother and for her kids throughout this whole process. So strong that she even managed to come to work and call a few games while going through the most difficult time of her life. But her tribute to her mom today was something special. Certainly brought tears to my eyes and to others, but it was just so great to see her up there, and Calder joined her too, so that was pretty cool. But just our deepest condolences go out to Megan and her family during this difficult time, and we can't wait to have her back in the broadcast booth on Saturday. As far as the hockey game goes, the Flames looked over their heads for most of the first 22 minutes, but I give them a lot of credit for being able to adjust in-game. And Ryan Huska, who seems to have his finger on the pulse of who's going and who's not, made some changes to his lines before the game and then during the game, and the guys got going. And they turned a game that looked like it could get away from them into a one-goal game, and they made things interesting for the fans who really got into the game in the third period here at Scotiabank Saddledome, trying to will the Flames to another come-from-behind win. And they certainly had their opportunities to tie this thing at three, and then the Hurricanes... Hey, they finished third overall last year. They're a really good team. They were the top possession team in the league coming into this game, and we got to see why they have been considered a strong Stanley Cup contender for a number of seasons. Good teams find a way to close games out. That's what the Hurricanes did, adding an empty netter for a 4-2 win. But I saw some promising things beyond the 22-minute mark of this hockey game, and I think it was an opportunity for the Flames to learn a bit from a team that plays with more pace than any other team in this league, and hopefully they can up their pace moving forward as a result of what happened against the Hurricanes tonight. But this is a group that does not give up on any game. Down three goals against the Canucks in the season opener, they battled back and won that game in overtime. Down three goals in this game against the Hurricanes tonight, they don't fight back, and for the first time in seven games to start the season, failed to pick up a point. But hey, if you had offered the Flames or any one of their fans a 5-1-1 start to the season, everybody would have signed on the dotted line. So we'll see if they can bounce back. It doesn't get much easier, if any easier, on Saturday with maybe the best team in the league so far this season, the Jets, coming to town. But should be a heck of a hockey game. And just a reminder for everybody, early start, 5 o'clock. Don't be late.
5 p.m. start, 4 o'clock warm-up for Saturday's game against the Winnipeg Jets.
And pleasure calling the game with you again. So thanks for that.
Fun.
And Logan did a great job doing double duty tonight as both co-host and reporter. So thanks to you both.
Yes, and thank you for making it easy on us, Mr. Wills. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you for practice on Friday.
Good night.
Final score, 4-2, Flames lose to Carolina. Time to hear from head coach Ryan Huska on our Flames Talk post-game show right now.
Dan said that after the game, Nazem and Michael just told the group, like, the last 30 minutes is how we want to play, and we've shown that we can hang around with teams like that. Like, did you feel that way, and what do you feel about that message?
I don't think it's hanging around with teams. I think there's a way that we have to play, and we had, I thought, the first 6 minutes of the game, we were pretty good, and then we slowed it down in the neutral zone, and we spent about 2.5 minutes in our own zone, and I think from that point it shifted for the rest of the first period and into the second before we got back to trying to play the way we need to play to have success. So I don't think it's hanging with teams. I think it's just making sure that we're clear on the direction and the way or style that we have to play.
The numbers sort of came back, but it did feel like they were sort of pretty dominant on face-offs early in the game.
They scored two goals off face-offs, so there was a big issue for our club in that area tonight.
Ryan, how do you think Pospisil looked playing on the wing tonight?
I thought he was fine. He had more hits. He was physical for us. A few of his puck touches, I think, could have been a little bit better, but he was skating tonight.
A little bit too much to ask for your goaltender tonight, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they're a shot volume team. So that's one of the hard parts about playing Carolina, is they shoot the puck a lot, so your goalie has to always be ready because they're coming from bad angles, long shots, wherever it is. So you expect the shot totals to be a little bit higher against them, for sure, but I thought there were stretches where we got away from how we have to play, where we opened ourselves up way too much, and he had to make too many saves, for sure.
What was part of that, was one of those stretches, the first 5 minutes of the second period, just seemed like that's where the game was lost to me.
But yeah, it was, for sure, yeah. Without a doubt, and I thought we sagged at that point, where we got away from how we have to play. You see, when we got a few hits as the game went going, we started to get the building more involved. Once we started to play a little bit more to the way we have to consistently play.
My sense is that a lot of fans will go, you know what? You know, we had five wins and a tie. This is not a big deal. I'm assuming that's not the way your room will take this.
I would hope they don't. it's a hard league to win in, and you take your foot off for a second, and our team is a, when you look at the way we have to play, it's so important for us to be consistent with what we do. And I don't think for the last couple games we've been there for 60 minutes stretches, but we are not a team that cannot play 60 minutes.
Ryan, did you get an explanation on the McKenzie penalty at the end of the second there?
Yeah, it was just that he felt like McKenzie shouldn't have shot the puck at that stretch. I didn't hear the whistle on the bench. It wasn't a loud whistle in my opinion, but I get it.
Do you look at the two goals that were just off of defensive zone faceoffs? Like, how do you guys prevent that, or is that a little bit cause for concern or anything?
No, I think that's an area that we have to get better in. One, your centermen have to dig in harder. If you're losing faceoffs, then you expect your players to block shots. And then three, you have to make sure you're much harder around your net front. So there are no second opportunities in front. So that, to me, is all work-related.
That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game following tonight's 4-2 setback here at the Dome against the Carolina Hurricanes. Okay, phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Get in line on the phone lines right now. Get your texts at 960-960. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. We've got a lot to talk about on our Flames Talk post-game show. My name is Pat Steinberg. Back around the corner as we continue along. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, your final score here at the Dome. It had to happen eventually, and it just so happens that it happened on this Thursday night. The Flames, for the first time this season, lose in regulation 4-2 against the Carolina Hurricanes here at the Dome. Flames Talk postgame. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. If you want to chat, jump in line right now on the phone lines. You get your text in. We'll get there very, very shortly. First of all, you know, what we've talked about now through the first six games and now a seventh game in the book, the Flames, I feel like they still have stuck with their identity. And even though they got overwhelmed a little bit here against Carolina tonight, I never felt like it was a lack of effort or a lack of try or waving the white flag or checking out. Like, the effort level, the work rate was still where it needs to be. The execution was the area that they really struggled with for a good chunk of the first 22, 23 minutes or so. Carolina is a relentless and extremely high-pressure hockey team. They showed that in a large way in getting out to that 3-0 lead, and the Flames took a little bit of time to adjust to what the Hurricanes are able to do. What Kevin Rooney explained it to us after 20 minutes of play when they were down 1-0, and the way he explained it, if you watch the Hurricanes play, you'll see it right there in front of you because they've got so much speed on that team. It's like five one-on-one battles at any given time, and five guys going one-on-one with five guys on the other side. And we definitely saw that, especially as the Hurricanes jumped out to that 3-0 lead. So they're an extremely difficult team to play against. As Ryan Huska said, they're a shot volume team, so everything goes on net, and they're a very good team at suppressing shots as well. That's a good hockey team. And so they were full marks for jumping out to that 3-0 lead. Took a little bit of time for the Flames to adjust, but I give them credit. They definitely were able to get back to what they need to do, and they made this thing close. They don't quite get to the comeback, and when you fall down 3-0, you're not always going to be able to come all the way back, but I give them a lot of credit for sticking with it, and the effort and the compete level was high the entire way. Big tip of the hat to the Kadri line with Pospisil and Kuzmenko. They were the only line going for the Flames in the first period. They kept that going into the second, and I thought the Kadri line was the catalyst to the Flames getting things back on track after the third goal against and really getting the Flames back set. The Backlund line, which was not very good in the first period, I didn't find, really kind of followed up after that. The Backlund line and the Kadri line from that point forward
kind of drove the bus in a big way. Did not like the Kirkland Huberdeau Mantha line at all. Thought the fourth line struggled a little bit with Rooney, Lomberg, and Coronado. Then they made the switch and flip-flop Mantha down to the fourth line, I guess, and moved Coronado up to the third line. So I thought the Backlund line and the Kadri line did what they needed to do, especially from the second period on. Thought the Kirkland line and the Rooney line struggled a little bit in this game this evening. But credit to the Kadri line, because I thought they were the real catalyst for things getting back on track. And you heard Jason LaBarbera, when he was with us a little earlier, talk about Dan Vladar and how important he was. Yes, he allowed the three goals, although, again, don't know if you hang any of those goals only on him, but then shut the door from there on out, and he ends up with a, 39-40 save performance when it's all said and done. And Dan Vladar deserves a bit of a tip of the hat as well. It's time for Dan's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes, and Dan Vladar's Save of the Game comes in period number three.
Games will bring it right back in. Here comes Natchison up the right wing side. First behind the net, tries a wraparound, and Vladar stretches out with his right leg and makes an incredible stop. Maybe a game saver.
And that ends up being one of the 39 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. So a solid night for Dan Vladar in his fourth start of the season. Good news is that he's feeling okay, and all reports suggest that nothing was tweaked, nothing was pulled when he got shaken up a little bit late in the third period. He finished the game as well, which is a good indicator. The other good indicator, he came out and spoke post-game as well. Let's hear from Dan Vladar inside the Flames locker room right now.
But I know all you care about is the win, but overall, what did you think of your group's performance and maybe a little resiliency despite coming up short?
I mean, guys said it, knives and backs, like last 30 minutes. I think we proved we can play against anyone, and we were a better team last 30 minutes, so... Unfortunate that, you know, first 30 they came hard at us, but I think if we're going to play like the last 30 minutes, we have a really good chance of going far and, just have a good season.
So Nazem and Michael said after the game that at those last 30 minutes we can hang with everyone?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, everyone agreed, like, if you're going to play like the last 30, like, we are going to have success. So we all know that. So lesson learned, hopefully, and let's get ready for Winnipeg on Saturday.
How did you feel at the end? It looked as though, and I don't want to speculate, but just the idea of either being fatigued or being maybe a little nicked up, how did you feel?
The first 25 minutes I didn't stop, so I was really tired. I skated a lot last couple of days, so tomorrow when I'm going to talk to goalie coach, I'll let him know that it was too much last couple of days because I was really tired. I was cramping up at the end, so that's it. Yeah.
Nothing beyond cramping?
Just cramping up.
So, and I mean, going back to, see, like, is there a level of confidence with this group? Like, obviously, with their start and everything, but knowing that you can sort of hang around with some of the teams that are maybe on paper a little bit better?
Well, we know what we have in this locker room. We have a bunch of really good leaders here, and we are all really good friends. We are like one big family, so we have no doubt in ourselves, and we don't even believe. We know we are good, so we just got to play like the last 30 minutes.
There you go. That is Dan Vladar post-game inside the Flames locker room. Still hear a couple more conversations from inside the room here on our Flames Talk post-game show. But let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. Starting with our buddy Scotty in Victoria, who says, well, the winning had to end at some point, and Carolina ain't an easy team to beat. I'm proud of the effort tonight against a really tough opponent. Carolina really leaves no room out there. Vladar made some beautiful saves. I hope his injury isn't serious. On to the next one. So you just heard there, not serious at all, just cramped up. He's fine, so that's good news. Chris from Thorncliffe says, that's it, blow the team up, sell away everybody, bring up the AHL team. He throws in a lol at the end, so he's kidding. Yes, absolutely, no need to panic, but some things to work on for sure coming out of this game. This is our buddy Anand, who says, good evening, Pat, happy Thursday evening, heading to the airport to Toronto as we speak, family friend's wedding on Saturday. Huberdeau sort of redeeming himself with a goal from a bad game on Tuesday. Congrats to Bean for his first goal as a Flame. Canes are a sneaky, strong team. Also, condolences and prayers to the Mickelson family. Always tough losing a family member.
remember. That comes from Anand. And you know, I still thought Huberdeau struggled even with the goal tonight. Still thought he struggled pretty mightily in this game. First three games of the year, four games of the year, Huberdeau very strong. It's kind of waned a little bit. So if we can see Jonathan get back to what we had seen in the first two, three games of the year, that'd be a really big step forward for the Flames. This from JoJo in Lloyd, who says, deep in my drinks, but love the lack of quit in a losing effort. Interested in seeing how the Flames do against another tough opponent in the Jets. Hope Vladdy's okay. Have a great night, Pat. Go Flames, go. This reads, a two-minute span was the killer. Vladar was awesome. Kirkland got an assist, so maybe it's a 5% off at Costco tomorrow. I don't know if you saw Kirkland's parents and his wife, Madison, all in the stands tonight. You probably did if you watched it on Sportsnet, but all wearing the Kirkland signature shirts, which I thought was pretty awesome as well. This reads, Vladar's an absolute warrior. Great game by him. Absolutely need to step up, though, as a team. This from Ash. Going into this game, the Flames were the second worst faceoff team in the NHL. The lack of faceoff prowess definitely played a key role in the loss, as it allowed the Canes to sustain so much offensive zone time. I hope they focus on faceoffs during their next practice. Finally, was wondering if a player must be sent to the Wranglers in light of Sharon Govich and Hanzek now being day-to-day instead of on the IR. If so, I'm assuming it'll be Hanzek. So a few things there. Agreed on the 100% on the front of the faceoffs. Clean faceoff wins led to two of Carolina's goals, as you heard from Ryan Huske even on the postgame show. So that is absolutely something they need to work on. As for the roster situation, so right now the Flames are at 23 players, so the maximum amount of players on the active roster with Sharon Govich and Hanzek both on IR. For either of those guys to play, they'd have to be activated off of IR. Now, they won't get activated off IR until they're ready to return, but for either of them to get activated off IR and be able to come back onto the active roster, the Flames would have to make at least one, if not two, depending on if it's one or two, but corresponding roster moves. So right now, as it looks like everybody's healthy coming out of this game, if it were to be for Saturday's game, for instance, against Winnipeg, it would have to be AHL assignments. Right now, you could, if you wanted to put Hanzek in the American League, you could and allow him to get back up to speed potentially in the American League. So that would alleviate one of the corresponding roster moves, but even if you wanted to activate Sharon Govich, at least right now, one person would have to go to the Wranglers. As of right now, you've got Coronado, Klapka, Hanzek, and I'm missing one other that does not need to clear waivers if they go down. Maybe I'm thinking about Hanzek, but Coronado and Klapka do not have to clear waivers either if they are to go to the Calgary Wranglers. So, you know, that could also be Kirkland would not have to clear waivers. That's what I'm thinking about, because Kirkland hasn't been up for the requisite amount of time for his waiver status to reset. He's also exempt. So Kirkland, Klapka, Coronado, and Hanzek could all move freely between the NHL and the American League without requiring waivers. So we'll see what the Flames do. But yes, a long story short, if the Flames were to bring Sharon Govich back in or Hanzek back in, corresponding roster moves would have to be made. This comes from Kyle, who says, Pat, a lot to like, a lot to dislike. They aren't going to win them all, and they're still 5-1-1, currently first in the division. Was Vladar hurt at the end there?
No.
Also, the Uyghur penalty, if you go back and watch it slowly, you can see him hesitate and hold back on his shot. He heard the whistle. That was a frustrated shot, not his crowning moment, but his emotion is what makes him stand out. Hope Megan and family are doing well, not the same without her. She'll be back for Saturday's game against Winnipeg. Appreciate those thoughts, Kyle. And Uyghur didn't speak, but I kind of read it a little bit differently. Now, I didn't get an opportunity to watch any replay with sound, but
definitely Uyghur let up on the shot. I just read it more as you're in game mode and Uyghur plays so pinned to 10, right? Like he is always cranked to the highest level. So you're at your in-game mode, you're playing, then all of a sudden you get the puck and your Uyghurs always shoot first. And then I think the way I read it was last minute he realized something wasn't quite right and realized that perhaps there's a guy without his mask on. I don't think that he looked at it and said, I'm going to shoot it now. I think instead he looked at it and saw at the last minute while he was already going through the motions to take the shot, he put it on net and did take a lot off of it. I didn't think it needed to be a penalty. That's not the way Uyghur plays. So I thought that was a strange call myself, but is what it is and didn't end up hurting the Flames when it was all said and done. Claude writes, Pat, well, it felt like the bubble burst tonight. I feel their game has dipped over the last few outings. They weren't bad, but not good enough. Vladdy was great. I think they're missing their top goal scorer from last season. Good news in that respect is that Sharon Govich, who Claude is referring to, is close. I agree. Going back to the Seattle game, going back to even the game on Tuesday against Pittsburgh, game has dipped a little bit. Didn't love them against Chicago either. So I do think the game has dipped a little bit and see if they can get it back to where they want it to be. And finally, this reads from Mike and Mackenzie Lake. If we said at the start of the year the Flames would start the year 5-1-1, we all would have said no way. I think we need to live the motto of celebrate the wins and embrace the losses. That comes from Mike. Text line remains open at 960-960. Keep them coming on the phone lines. And let's get to, keep them coming on the text line. And now let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight. 403-240-4444. Got one line open if you want to chime in. Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Darcy is kicking us off on the phone lines tonight. What's going on, Darcy?
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to Megan and her tough loss of her mother. And that's we get past that. Goaltending. I love what the Flames are doing with goaltending. I know they got two goalies in there that are hot. And with their contracts, I think maybe Calgary has probably the best contracts, management-friendly contracts for the goaltending. And this Dustin Wolf kid, I absolutely love him. And nothing to take away from Vladar because he's an awesome goalie too. And to have two hot goalies is a great problem to have. And but what Craig Conroy has done by signing Dustin Wolf for only $850 a year is just amazing, you know. And I wish we could find a way to get both those guys in the net, you know, during the game somehow.
Well, I mean, they've done a pretty good job, Darcy, of getting them both game time. You can pretty much take to the bank that that Wolf will start Saturday against Winnipeg. So that'll be game 8, and it'll be an even 4-4 start split come Saturday if indeed they go that way, which, again, I think is a pretty foregone conclusion. So they've done a pretty good job of getting them both playing time. Same game, maybe not, but through 8 games, definitely like the goaltending management and just makes sense with where these two guys are.
Yeah, I just don't understand why, you know, we don't use both of them in the game. We got a goalie right now is playing too much time. And he's cramping up.
Darcy, so, what team ever does that?
Well, that's the thing. We got to look at the future. And the future, we look at baseball, we got a starting pitcher and a relieving pitcher.
I don't know if you're that ahead of the curve suggesting two goalies play in one game. You can float that at like a conference maybe one day. I don't know if we're at that point yet where we're going to do two goalies in one game.
Just a sec. If Dustin Wolf starts the game, he's doing awesome. And if you look at Bedard's stats, he always does better in the second half of the game.
Darcy, you're not going to convince me on this one. So we'll agree to disagree on that one.
Okay. Now, what about Craig Conroy signing Dustin Wolf to $850 for 2 years? Do you think maybe we should have given the goalie more? Because Dustin Wolf had 17 starts the year before, and every time I was listening to him on the radio, he was the talk of the town. Like, that kid can play. He can sell jerseys. He's popular. And I see the same thing in Edmonton. Skinner's popular. Probably the third most popular player on the team, but not paid that way. And it's just like goalies. We got to give him more respect, give him a little bit more money. I think he's worth more than $850.
I mean, he's only played prior to this season 17 NHL games or whatever it was. So I think that the contract is fair on both sides. It's also got the one-way deal in year two. It's a two-way deal for year one, one-way deal for year two. I think the contract's fine on Wolf's front. And let's see what he does in these 2 years. And Darcy, in a couple of years' time, if Wolf's playing like he is now, when it's time for his next contract, that's when he's going to hit it big at the age of, you know, 25, 26 years old.
That's if Calgary doesn't trade him. You know he's going to be a hot commodity. Two hot goalies, you know, I'm afraid they're going to trade one out of town.
I don't think they're trading Dustin Wolf anytime soon, Darcy.
Well, sign him up. He's worth at least $2 million a year, you know.
Well, they got him for two. Darcy, money. I appreciate the call. They've got him for two more years, this year and next year, at $850. Then they can determine where things go from there. So I appreciate the call. And the one thing that I will say is that the goaltending has been strong to start the year, no doubt about it, and was strong again tonight against Carolina. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Flames fall 4-2 to Carolina tonight. Francesco is with us on the phone lines. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Mr. Steinberg, thanks for having me on the show. I have a couple of items that I've had stewing for a while.
Sure.
But first I'd like to give a big Don't check thumbs up, this is all right, can't go wrong. You know, that guy. And I'm hoping Iggy joins him one day so we can help Calgary win another cup. I'm a lifetime Flames fan, born and raised. But as far as I know, the Saddle Dome, the entrance song to the Flames, I've had this thought stewing in my head. Like, I don't know what the entrance song to the Flames is. Do you know what it is? I'm just curious.
I believe they went Nickelback this year. Burn It to the Ground is what they went with.
Oh, for they did? Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
I haven't been to a Flames game yet, but I had a suggestion. It would have been like Back in the Saddle by Aerosmith. I was wondering if you ever thought about that one.
Not a bad idea.
Because the beginning of that song is like got an intro part to it where the guy on the microphone could lead it up, and when Steven Tyler hits the "I'm back," you know, the Flame comes out and the goalie comes out of the locker room or whatever. So that was a thought I had there.
I'll pass that one.
Another one is like, I just want to say Vidar is so close to the name Darth Vader, and
they do,
the Force is with
they
them
do
tonight.
Do. I love the ideas, Francesco. They do do the Imperial March sometimes, and they definitely do the Darth Vader thing.
I thought I heard that a couple times, and I want to say kudos to the person who thought that up.
Yep. What do you think about the game tonight?
That's my only comments, man. I love the Flames, and hopefully we bring another cup another time.
All right, Francesco, have a good night, man. A couple interesting calls. We have Aerosmith and Darth Vader, and then also played two goalies in the same game. It's been an interesting start to the season. Rather interesting start to the program on the phone lines. Okay, George. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat with us on this Thursday night. 4-2 final score. Flames lose to Carolina. George, what do you have for us tonight? What interesting thoughts do you bring to the table?
Okay, so I guess it's my responsibility to get this back on the rails then, right?
If you'd like, whatever, wherever you'd like to go.
Of course. You know me, Patty. You know me. I'll do it. But before I start anything, though, I do want to offer my deepest condolences to the Mickelson family. That's an awful loss, and I just, you know, I hope she's doing okay. But, yeah, definitely my deepest condolences to her and her family.
Okay, and very much appreciated.
Yeah, my man. So, yeah, it was bound to happen eventually, and they suffered their first regulation loss tonight against, a very formidable opponent in the Hurricanes. And that was definitely their toughest test to date. I mean, the Hurricanes, they're the real deal. I know they're 4-2 now, so their record isn't awful, of course, but they're a really tough team to play against. You know, they've always had that reputation with Brindamore as their coach, who I think Rob Brindamore is one of the better coaches in the league. I've always thought he was a top five coach in the NHL. So, but the thing I really liked is the fight they put up in the third period. You know, they kept showing determination. You know, they kept showing resilience. And although they didn't get the desired result, it's still good to see they didn't give up and they refused to give up. And I think I didn't see the or hear many of the post-game press conferences, but I did see somewhere on Twitter where I believe it was Vladar who said Backlund and Kadri addressed the room and said, you know, we play like we played the last 30 minutes. We can beat any team in this league. And honestly, that's not, you know, that's a true statement. I mean, they don't have the talent a lot of the teams in the league have, right? They don't have the players on quote-unquote paper, but they've willed themselves in large part to this record. And it's what you guys have been saying too. It's the execution sometimes isn't there, but it's, you know, everything else is there. Like, they're doing everything else as well as they possibly can.
Well, I mean, look, the work ethic and the commitment to playing the way they need to play, I think has been there pretty much the entire way through all seven games. And yes, there have definitely been nights where the execution hasn't been there, but at no point have I ever felt like that lack of execution has been a product of, you know, a lack of effort or a lack of try or whatever word you want to use. So that's a real positive thing in my eyes.
Oh, for certain. Yeah, most definitely. And that's, like I said, they could play like this all year and you know, lose more than they win, and that's, I'll still be proud, you know? But, no, I mean, it's cool to see. I'm happy with the effort, you know? I'm happy with how hard they play, and it just goes to show that, you don't see the effort going away anytime soon, so that's good. Let me ask you this, my friend, because, you know, for the home games, you're actually in the Saddle Dome. But while, like, watching on TV, especially tonight, it seemed super, super loud in there. Like, the fans are really, really loud getting behind this team. Is that something you've noticed this year? Like, how loud it's been in the Dome?
Not in a huge way. Like, definitely in the third period when they came alive. I definitely noticed that. The game was as such that it was actually pretty quiet in here for a good chunk of it, based, I think, almost solely on the game script, because Carolina was smothering them as well as much as they did and opened up a 3-0 lead. That'll quiet any building down, right? So I haven't, and this is not saying you're wrong, but I haven't noticed being in here that it's been any louder or less loud than normal. But I'm not saying you're wrong that, because, you know, you have your ears work as well. So, I just haven't noticed that myself, Georgie.
Okay. Yeah, I did want to get your perspective, because, like I said, you're actually physically in the building. I'm not, right? I'm watching on television. So, the third period, I should have actually been more specific, the third period. But the other thing I liked about that, too, is it's you're starting to see the fan base believe that this team can come back. And again, I know comparisons are now being made to the Findaway Flames. I get all that. I see some of those points. Others, I don't. I think there are differences between this squad and that squad of a decade ago. But when you have the fans believing it, that's a good thing too, right? Like, that's got to give them some juice as well. Like, I don't think there was any point, until the 4-2 goal maybe, but that there was like 20 seconds left in the game. There wasn't any point there after Huberdeau scores that second goal where, you know, the Flames faithful didn't believe, hey, we could maybe tie this up again and you know, possibly get a point, maybe two.
It was nice and loud here at the 3-2 goal, for sure. After the 3-2 goal, the definitely Sea of Red came to life in a pretty good way, for sure.
Yeah. Give you a final question here, my friend, and I'll let you go. But assuming Sharon Govich and Hanzik are both ready to be activated and come back next game,
I just want to stop you there. I don't know if they will be ready or not for next game. They've only skated once and haven't done a full practice yet. So I'm not saying they won't be, but I just want to say no guarantee that either or both will be ready for Saturday, because they have yet to play or even go through a full practice.
Okay, understood. In the event that it eventually happens here sooner rather than later.
Well, it will. It is going to eventually happen. It's just I'm not sure if it'll be for Saturday or not.
So who do you think they would send down to the AHL when that does happen?
My guess would be right now Klapka would be one. And then from there, I don't know. I think there'd be an interesting conversation to be had. I think that, Coronado and Kirkland don't require waivers either. I do wonder a little bit, George, about the whole idea of putting Hanzek down there just for a little bit, because he's coming off an injury. Do you put Hanzek down there for just a little bit to get him back up to speed? I think you could definitely think about doing that too. That's not to say Hanzek would deserve that, or that his play would be that he's played himself out of the lineup. But it's also his first injury in the NHL. He got belted pretty good on that play when Connor Murphy got him. So I could see him being an option as well to go to the American League.
Yeah, I'm actually with you there, and I'll say this. It's nice to be able to say it's an extremely difficult decision, because it is. You can make a very fair argument that none of the above deserve to go down. Like, I don't think Klapka does. I understand why Klapka comes in and out of the lineup, but I don't think that necessarily means he deserves to come out of the lineup, right?
I don't know if any of the guys would, because Kirkland, for the time being, Kirkland's now played six games, so it's 30 days or 10 games. 30 days on the NHL roster or 10 games on the NHL roster for your waiver eligibility to reset. So because he cleared waivers earlier, he's waiver exempt for now, but that would be starting to come into question, which is actually a really interesting, I don't want to say dilemma, but an interesting thing the Flames, and I know for a fact that I'm not telling them news that this is a part of the conversation, but that's also really interesting to look at, just knowing that there is that potential of him being eligible for waivers again. So we'll see. We'll see. But I do think Hanzek's an option. Definitely Klapka, who does not require waivers, is an option. And I guess Coronado would be an option as well if they were in that spot and needed to go that direction.
All right, my friend. It was great talking to you, buddy. I hope you have an excellent night.
Thank you, Georgie. We'll talk soon.
Take care, my friend.
You too, 403-240-4444. It's your phone number, text line, 960-960. Let's say hello to Mark following a 4-2 loss to Carolina. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Pat. Thanks for taking my call.
You know it.
I just want to take an idea from Darcy. I don't think Darcy went far enough. I actually think we need to use two goalies, but at the same time. I think that's what we need.
Let's. You know what? Might as well just give it a try, right?
It can't hurt. Anyways, thank you for your patience in dealing with all of us. I know it's always a challenge sometimes. I think it was great to see the Flames ultimately show up. I felt like the beginning of the game they were a little discombobulated. I don't know if it was the lines being blended up a little bit. For things to kind of get on track. I didn't really love Rooney's game from what I could see. He didn't seem like he was quite there, and I'm not sure if it's a matter of him just getting back in the flow, or if he's just not quite a fit. It wasn't quite a fit tonight. But ultimately, what I want to see from this team is I want the team to be focused on the processes. Starting to do the right things at the right time, to be less focused on results, to ultimately just be results agnostic and focused on ultimately getting, you know, getting things moving in the right direction with the right people, right players. You've got a lot of young kids that you want, you really just want to see them making steps. If they win, they win. And the draft picks, they'll sort themselves out in the end. And but I think, especially with a team like any Canadian team, you can't be a losing team. We already face enough challenges. If you want to attract, you know, free agents, if you want to get to that next level, if you want to keep your own free agents, you have to be able to win. And I like the fact that the young kids are out there always fighting to win, and it's part of the culture. Is we're not going to quit, even if we are undermanned, under talent, less talent than everyone else, but we're going to go out there and give our best shot. And ultimately, I think that's what Conroy wants as well. As long as we stick to the plan of not sacrificing our futures, keep going, getting younger,
yeah,
I think this season is going to be a positive regardless. Like, whether we make the playoffs, whether we miss the playoffs by 20 points, I think it's going to be positive if we continue to stick with the plan and get younger, but also focus on the details, getting the processes right.
Which I think is exactly what the plan is. And honestly, I don't think, Mark, that that's going to be deviated from. This hockey ops group has they've got their blueprint. And that blueprint is one that they trust. It's one that they've sold to the very top, and they're going to stick with it. And so I don't think they're going to get distracted if results, you know, continue to be somewhat surprising for those on the outside. I loved the term that you used. I'm now going to steal it and use it as my own and not give you credit. No, I kid. But I loved that term, results agnostic. And honestly, man, I think that's kind of exactly what we're talking about. Like, obviously they want to win, and losing has never been a part of this plan for the Flames. Conroy's been very, very upfront about how losing is not a part of what they're trying to do here, and they're not going to be tanking or anything like that. That he's been very upfront about that. But
yeah,
I also don't think that they're going to just sacrifice the work that they've put in for a new direction here just if things, for instance, are a little bit of, you know, if they get a little bit, if they get a little bit ahead of where perhaps the schedule was. I don't think they're going to be changing course. In fact, I'm very confident they're not going to change course. I really don't believe that is something that we're going to see.
Yeah, and I think, like Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And, you know, the question ultimately is, if the fan base starts to see us, you know, trending in the direction of playoffs, and we're getting to a deadline, I can't, and the chance, like a guy like Vladar, makes sense to trade him, are we willing to make that move? I have to believe Conroy is, but I think the fans have to be willing to accept that too, right? Where it's like, the plan is bigger than this season. If we're going to get to where we really want to be in the long
haul, really is. It fully is. That's a really good way of putting it too. The plan is bigger than one season, and I think you can be very confident again that this hockey ops staff is thinking that exact way. That it's more than just it's more than just this year, and maybe that has been something that hasn't been as much of the case in recent years. But I think that's a really good way of putting it. So, you know, whether we're talking about a rebuild or a retool or a reload or a reforestation, whatever we're talking about, I really do think that the plan is much bigger than one season.
One final quick thing of these 20 seconds, I do want to give a big shout out to John Abbott. He's done an awesome job. I know you probably don't get to listen to him much.
I get to hear him in the final 7 to 10 minutes of each game when I'm back downstairs. First of all, you're not going to meet a better human. Johnny is like an absolute gem of just like the salt of the earth, great human being. So that
is number one. Number two, yeah, he's got a great, like, he has a hell of a call. He really, really gets you into the game, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, I just want to make sure if he's driving home that he gets to hear that, because people are critical of their play-by-play guys. So keep it up, and welcome to the team.
I do know that he listens a lot, so there's a decent chance Abs is listening right now. So decent chance he heard that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking my call, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, man. Be well. Appreciate the call, Mark.
Take care.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat on this Thursday night. Flames fall 4-2 to Carolina. First regulation loss of the season. We're rolling through the phone lines. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Flames Talk postgame. And Brian is up next. What's up, Brian?
Hi, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Good. First-time caller, so thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just want to say a couple things. Great game tonight. I mean, look at the team they were playing. Carolina is not a easy team to play against. They're a pretty stingy team. But I want to say, I want to give the Flames their cues. I mean, when it was 3-0, they could have given up. This is what I like about this team this year. They just don't quit. They could have been done, finished, but they just keep fighting. And, and Vladar, oh, he was amazing. And I was just going to ask you, do you think the last few minutes there he was playing injured? He kind of looked out of sorts for a little bit. What do you think about that?
A few things there. First of all, he cleared that up in his post game that he was just cramping up. And, on top of that, confirmation from a few different places. He's fine. So, and he said as much after the game. So no worries there, it doesn't sound like.
And what do you think about it? I like what they're doing by rotating them every night, not playing them the consecutive nights. You like that idea?
Right now, absolutely. For a few different reasons. First of all, both guys need to play because they both potentially factor in a large way to this team's future. So they both need to play. So that would be number one. Number two, they've both given them an opportunity. So it's not like one is really, I don't think one has grossly or vastly outperformed the other. I know that Wolf's numbers are a little bit superior compared to where Vladar is, but in terms of what they've given him, it's been pretty close. Wolf is 3-0, Vladar is now 2-1-1, but both guys have been quite strong for him. And I think that's seven games, seven quality starts from Flames goaltenders. So I am totally in favor of them continuing to rotate. And Dan Vladar's numbers just keep going up. He was at 890. Again, the first period against Vancouver just killed his numbers. And wasn't that first period against the Canucks was not all on him. But the save percentage numbers absolutely took a beating because of that first period. But he keeps working his way up. He made 39 on 42 tonight. 39 on 42 because there was only the 42 shots that he faced with the one empty netter. So 39 on 42 bumps his save percentage from 890 to 904. So it keeps on rising. And if you take out that first period against Vancouver, he's right around he's in the 930 range for what he's been. So Wolf's been very strong, and Vladar continues to be very strong for him too.
Yeah, and the only negative I got out of tonight, and I'll get your comment, is especially that first period, I found they turned the puck over too many times in their own end, especially that first period.
I mean, it's not
that
like... Tonight was not all positive, definitely not. Their face-off work, especially in the first period, was atrocious, and they ended up winning just 42% of face-offs, and face-offs have been a problem for them all season long. They are the second worst face-off team in the NHL right now at 43.6%, and they were 42 tonight. They were only 20% in the first period, so that needs to be worked on in a large way. They spent way too much time defending in this game, even though they pushed back over the course of 60, still too much time defending in this game. There were definitely not
it wasn't all positive. The bottom six forwards, I thought, really struggled for a good chunk of this game. It wasn't all positive, but the big positive would be that they found their way back in. They didn't quit. There was no white flag. There was no let up on the work ethic. That was a big-time positive, no question.
Exactly, and I'm going to leave you this. If you would have told me 3 weeks ago that this team would be 5-1-1, I would have said you're crazy. So, if they keep playing like this, they're not going to win every night. But as long as the effort's there, I'm happy. Right now, compared to last year, I'm so happy with the way they're going right now. Whether it's going to stay like this, probably not. We've only played, 7 out of 82 games. But, hey, if they keep playing like this, it's great. Win or lose, it's entertaining hockey to watch. Thanks, Pat. Have a good night.
You call back anytime, man. I really appreciate the call, Brian. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Back to your phone calls and texts here very shortly. 4-2 final score. Flames fall to the Carolina Hurricanes here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room now. Blake Coleman, his thoughts following the first regulation loss of the season.
Like, it couldn't go on forever, obviously, but just the idea of, what you saw out there tonight on a game that you would have dearly loved to keep this momentum rolling, but what did you see?
Yeah, we were just a little flat for the first 25 minutes of the game, 30 minutes of the game, and gave a good team a few power play opportunities, then they cash in, and, but I thought the response was good. We were never out of the game. We came back, made it a one-goal game there with a chance to tie late, so... we've played with fire a little bit, getting behind in some games, and you're not going to come back every time. So just take it as a lesson to start on time and go from there.
Obviously, you feel good about your third periods, though, and always staying right in it no matter what the score says.
Yeah, there's no quit. Everybody believes we're in every game, and, for whatever reason, there just wasn't that juice in the legs until too late. And, as a player, you just... look to maybe your routine and your answers for why you didn't feel that jump right away and work on it and be better.
Can you just speak to how Vladar kept you guys in that game?
Yeah, Vladdy was awesome all night. Made some 10 bellers and gave us a chance to be fighting to tie the game at the end. Without him, there's no opportunity to get back in that game. So, both our goalies have been really strong for us and they're going to need to continue to be, as we move forward.
Like, you mentioned falling behind. Is that sort of the message a little bit? Like, hey, we're playing with fire. Like, yeah, we can come back, but we don't want to be every night.
Well, it's going to happen. You're not going to be behind every game. You're not going to lead every game. There's been a little bit of both. And knowing that we have that ability to come back is important. But, it'd be nice to play with some leads here and find ways to win that way as well. So, for me, it was... more about just the lack of jump in the beginning of the game and execution was sloppy, but they're an aggressive team. You tip their hat, they came in ready to play and forced us into some bad plays and turnovers, and it was just kind of sloppy from us and took us a little too long to figure out how to break it down.
How does that aggressiveness, Carolina doesn't seem like they relent in the least, but like how did that affect puck play, giveaways, things like that, Blake?
Well, it's really not unlike how we are trying to play. I think they just did it better than us tonight in terms of, like I said, I think they had a little more fight and jump in their game early on, and I thought we turned the tables on them as the game turned. So, you start on time, and you're probably looking at a pretty evenly played match.
That is Blake Coleman post-game following a 4-2 loss here at the Dome to the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. It is last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. Last call at 403-240-4444. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll definitely get to you, but you still have an opportunity. Couple lines open if you want to chat tonight. 403-240-4444. Keep your texts coming as well. 960-960. We'll get to more of your phone calls, more of your texts around the corner. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, rolling through on this Thursday night following Calgary's first regulation loss of a new season. They fall 4-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame. It's Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Phone lines. Last call for phone calls on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. If you want to jump in, you can still call right now and keep your text coming at 960-960 as well. One more look inside the Flames locker room following this 4-2 setback. Let's hear from the captain. It's time to hear from Michael Backlund.
Michael, what's maybe your biggest takeaway as a group?
I thought they got some momentum on the power play, and then they had a better start in the second, but then I thought we climbed our way into the game halfway in, and I thought second half of the game we were the better team, but there was no quitting the boys, but it wasn't good enough in the end.
How challenging is it to play a team like Carolina that doesn't give you any time or space and is super aggressive and unrelenting?
Yeah, no, it's hard. We knew that going into the game, it was going to be a hard night. That's a similar style we want to play. That's why we had success to start the season, because we've been playing a relentless game and with a lot of pace and being aggressive. So we knew that going into the game, it was going to be a tough one tonight, and it was right from the start. They're a little better than us early on, and then we gave it a push, but that wasn't good enough.
Thank you, your goaltending.
Yeah, Vladdy was really good. He gave us a chance to stay in the game, made some really big saves.
Your goaltending so far this season has really been a story, hasn't it? It's not lost on you guys.
No, for sure. No, they've been great, both of them. Both Vladdy and Wolfie play really well, and it's great to see. Gives the whole team a boost and belief, and they've been really good right from the start of camp to regular season.
That is Michael Backlund, the captain, post-game following tonight's 4-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Let's get back to the text line and roll through. We got lots of text still to get to on this Thursday night, starting with Jeff in Lethbridge, who says, I'd like to see Backlund push a little more offense. In a game like tonight against an elite puck possession team, their lack of depth at center showed more than any game this year. A very entertaining game nonetheless. Still like the Flames game despite the loss. Let's give the Jets their first loss on Saturday, and indeed the Jets did end up winning on Thursday night. Last time we talked, the game hadn't been done yet or hadn't finished yet. It has finished now. Winnipeg gets a Nick Ehlers goal in overtime, and they beat the Seattle Kraken by a 4-3 score. So with Calgary's loss today, the Winnipeg Jets are now the lone unbeaten team. They were already the lone unbeaten team. Now they're the lone unbeaten team and the lone unbeaten team in regulation. The Jets were 6-0. The Flames were 5-0-1. Flames now 5-1-1. And Winnipeg is a perfect 7-for-7 out of the gates with a 4-3 overtime win in Seattle tonight. I actually thought Backlund's line did push the offense and did push a lot of offensive zone time. So I didn't mind Backlund's game at all in this one, especially in the final 40 minutes of play. This one comes from Andy, who says, what is Andy saying here? Almost a comeback, Pat. Great game as usual. These Flames are exciting to watch. I agree with Derek. Keep Pospisil, Kuzmenko, and Kadri together. Those three have chemistry and can be very dangerous together. Vladar kept him in the game, and he's improving immensely. Lastly, condolences to Megan and her family. Thank you, Andy. This one comes from Colton in Red Deer. It says, Pat, I'm curious, as I was at the game, if you noticed anything in particular about Kevin Ball's game tonight. I found he looked out of place and lost in the defensive zone and made a few bad passes on the breakout. I also found that Hubie's line looked disjointed for the majority of the game, aside from their one goal. Would love your take on those two things. Agree on the Huberdeau line. I thought when Huberdeau, Mantha, and Kirkland were together, they did struggle. And I thought individually Huberdeau struggled quite a bit in this game. They popped Coronado up on that line. They replaced Mantha with Coronado. So for the back stages of the second period and third period, it was Huberdeau, Kirkland, and Coronado on a line. As for Kevin Ball,
I thought that that pairing of him and Rasmus Anderson had a game that was maybe a little bit below the way they had played earlier this year. That pairing generally has been quite strong and I think has been Calgary's best pairing all season. I didn't notice anything in particularly poor on Kevin's game. Ball's the type of guy that, you know, you don't notice him a ton out there. He's not a guy who's going to push it offensively ever. That's not really part of his game. He's a guy who's far more about the kind of stay-at-home game and is far more about the defensive side of the game. You know, the one area that I do think that the texter pointed out, Colton pointed out there, is that sometimes the puck play with Kevin Ball, that's not his strongest suit. Sometimes the puck does look a little bit like a grenade, it feels like, on the stick sometimes. But generally, and that's something that he's still only, 24 years old. That's something that comes with more chair time and more just playing time. So I think that is something that can absolutely improve as time goes along here as well. This comes from Chris from Vulcan. Flames look slow tonight, and I thought they struggled in their own end and didn't win a lot of battles. Vladar made 8 or so big saves. Thought they had their chances but couldn't finish. It's all right. Let's get ready for the Jets. This says from Greg in Calgary, I cannot honestly say I've noticed Mantha at all this year. Putting Huberdeau with him is not a good thing at all. I do think Mantha struggled big time tonight, but in saying that, Mantha's had some games where he has been noticeable. I mean, he was a big time factor in the win in Vancouver. He was a massive factor in the win over Edmonton. So there have definitely been games when Mantha's made an impact and has been noticeable in my eyes. This reads, Vladar's been playing good, but Wolf really is starting to look like the man. Like you said in a previous show, he looks boring. Vladar still looks like the same guy from the past two seasons, flailing all over the place and not absorbing shots as well as Wolf. That comes from Todd. Todd, I guess what I would say is that I still think that Vladar's played well, and I don't think that he's played poorly. Wolf definitely, his strong suit is his reads, his anticipation, his hockey IQ, and that leads a lot to a lot of things looking boring and easy for him. Vladar does, it maybe does look at times like he's working a little harder, and does look at times like maybe there's a little bit more activity that goes into it, but I still think Vladar's had a nice start to the season. What else we got here at 960-960? Rick in Lakeview says, Pat, to me, it's been a 4-game dip. The difference tonight being that apart from the opening minute or two, they were schooled pretty badly until the 30-minute mark. It seems that when they go three stooges that bad in their own end, the blow to the confidence impacts offensive flow as well. Appreciated the effort in rebounding. Looking forward to the Jets on Saturday. And I do agree that with Rick's point, it has been more than a 1 or 2 game dip. I think the Chicago game, the Seattle game, the Pittsburgh game, and this one tonight, that there definitely have been some dips in the overall play. This reads, Hanzek needs to play in the American League. He's a skinny guy and isn't physically ready yet. Also, he missed most of last year with injuries. Don't rush this kid and wreck his career. I think there's something to that. I think it's something the Flames will think about when they're determining where to put him. Do they bring him right back to the NHL, or do they put him into the American League and start him there? Adam R. from Calgary says, was at the game and Vladar's a legend. Unbelievable performance. Greg in Varsity says, Pat, this is going to be one of the weirdest texts I've sent you over the years. With the new boards that have been installed, we've seen some odd bounces off those new boards. There's a spot a couple panels into the defensive zone from the Flames bench that has kicked out pucks on clearing attempts. It'll be noticeable if you rewatch the empty net goal as the puck entered the zone and it kicked into the middle of the ice. Anywho, have a great night, Pat. Yes, I do agree, and I have noticed that, Greg. The Flames, I think Mackenzie Weegar even made mention of that at some point during the home opener when we interviewed him after 20 minutes of play. He talked about that. Yes, absolutely. There have been some active bounces off those boards, and I still think it's a work in progress for the building staff. They're looking at it and they know about it, and yes, there's definitely been some active bounces there. And There you go. That's the text line at 960-960. Great stuff tonight on the text line. Really appreciate it. And now to the phone lines we go for the final time. Three more calls, looks like, to get to on this Thursday. Final score, 4-2. Flames fall to the Carolina Hurricanes. They got the Winnipeg Jets here on Saturday. This is your Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Travis is with us. What's going on, Trav?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
Good, man. Welcome back.
Yeah. It's been a busy start to the season for myself, so I haven't got to watch all the games or call in, but, you know, it's a nice start to see him get off to 1-1 now. That's more than I think any of us could have expected out of this team to start, so no complaints on that end. And I think overall, just I think, there's obviously a plan in place, and that plan will just continue to happen over this season and the next several seasons. So I don't think we could get too high or too low and just enjoy the ride while it happens, I think, because clearly we have some nice young pieces that are in the system, and I think we have a lot to look forward to at this point.
Agreed, and I think that's another really important, another important reminder that they've got a long-term plan and they're sticking with it, and that's going to be a really important part of them getting to where they want to go eventually.
Yeah, so I know we're talking about, well, earlier in the show you're talking about maybe Wolf and Vladar, and Vladar's obviously been pretty good to start, but do you actually see Vladar as part of a long-term plan in Calgary, or do you think it's too early to be seen on that?
I do think it's too early to be able to make a determination about that. I do think that if you were to ask me who's got the better chance of being a long-term Flame between Vladar and Wolf, I would say Wolf, no questions asked in my eyes, and that's not any disrespect to what Vladar has done. But remember, Vladar's on the expiring contract. He's a UFA at the end of this year. So, you know, What's his thought process too? So, yeah, I do think that there's a chance that Vladar could be a part of this long term, but I think the guy that, you know, is the guy they're looking at to be the long term answer. I don't think there's any doubt that it's Wolf.
Oh yeah, no, I think that for sure. I was I guess more under the my thinking was, Wolf's obviously the man, I would say, that we're all expecting. And are they maybe more higher on Cooley, even though I know he hasn't played in the NHL for the Flames yet? But I was just wondering if maybe they're more higher on Cooley than maybe with our long-term. And I guess that's probably too early to determine that as well. But
I mean, it all depends. I honestly, I do think it's too early to make that determination, Trav, because I think that there's still a lot to be figured out with. I mean, Cooley's off to a great start in the American League, and I'm not suggesting he's not, and I do know there's no doubt that Jordan Sigalet and this goaltending department are super, super excited about having Cooley in the organization. That much is absolute fact, but whether that means that they're ready to just say goodbye to Vladar or they're not high on him anymore, well, I do think that they look at Vladar as a guy who's an option for them, and if he's not going to end up being that, well, then he is. Like, there's absolutely a potential for him being a nice trade chip for them, right? So I don't think that determination is ready to be made 100%, you know?
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And I know maybe earlier in the week, there's a Saravelli just kind of said that the Flames are kind of in the market maybe for a center that...
Okay, so that's not any different than... Like, they've been in the market for a center for quite some time, Trav. So that's not really... And I'm not suggesting that it's not news, but I guess what I'm saying is that it's something that they've been interested in since the summer, since training camp, and still are interested in now.
Well, I think they've probably been in that mode for 20 years looking for that
no,
center.
No, no, but I mean, so, look, Trav, Frank didn't say they're in the market for a number one center. He said they're in the market for a middle six center, right?
Yeah, no, that's fair. No, and to that point, I was just leading into something with that was, you know, I was at the Carolina Edmonton game, and you watch Natchez, and he's a big, tall guy, right shot, younger dude. And I'm not saying that's the player that they're targeting or they would love to have, but you just see why the Flames would be in that market. When you see a player like that with that speed, that skill, that size play, that's exactly what the Flames have been drilling for a long time. So, you know, even if you're moving picks or assets out to bring in something like that, I think it's worth a while because, you know, that's exciting. And it just is kind of with the time frame of what this team is looking to do. So I know a lot of people are upset. Oh, they're off to a hot start, and now they're looking to do this.
But that's what I was trying to point out, that them being interested in a center has nothing to do with their hot start.
No, it doesn't. So, you know, I watched that player play in that game, and I was like, wow, he's a super good player. If you could get a player like that to add to your team, I think you'd do it 10 times.
Now, Natchez is primarily used as a winger in Carolina. So I just want to point that out as well.
That's fair.
Their centers, they go Aho, Kokaniemi, Stahl, and Drury down the middle. Natchez is a winger for the Hurricanes. So I wanted to point that out. Like, if you're talking about young centers, you know, a few of the names that I think that if the Flames were to be looking at somebody to bring in, they're looking for somebody who is maybe a little underutilized where they're at right now, like that market inefficiency that you sometimes talk about. So guys who are a little maybe not getting the opportunity, as much opportunity where they are, that could get more opportunity here. And then also fit the age range that are probably, you know, 25, 24, 23 years old. That also, I think, is really important, that they're not looking to go find a veteran center here. They want somebody they can use and build with the rest of their young group. So I think of guys like Shane Pinto in Ottawa. I think of Connor McMichael in Washington. I think of Peyton Krebs in Buffalo. Like, those are three names that are all maybe slightly underutilized right now where they're at. And you could probably give them more opportunity if they were to be here in Calgary. So those are some of the types of names that I think you could see the Flames being after in the center ice conversation.
Yeah, no, it's fair, Patty. Well, yeah, I'm just glad hockey's back on. It's really nice to talk to you. And one quick one before I let you go. So what do you think of the Buccaneers? That's your team, with them losing Evans and Godwin.
I'm not super stoked about them losing both Evans and Godwin in the same game. I was not super stoked about that.
Yeah, Godwin at the end of the game too. I have him in two fantasy leagues, so it was a pretty big blow for me as well.
Honestly what I'm most worried about is your fantasy team, Strav.
That's what I'm worried about, but because I'm not a Buccaneers fan. But yeah, thanks, Brady. You have a good night, man.
See you, Trav. We'll talk soon, bud.
Yeah.
Let's say hello to Gary. What's going on, Gary?
Hello, Pat. Hello,
Gary. You there? Didn't hear Gary there. Okay. And now he's not on the line anymore. Let's say hello to Darren. What's Darren? Going on, Darren?
Yes. I'm not much, man. I just first time listening to you guys this year, and it was my first time at the game. It was an awesome game, even though we lost, and got bleeders kind of last minute. And you can tell when you're on fansfirst.ca where you get the tickets, where the popularity is growing. And, you know, I got to say, the energy in the dome, there's something renewed here, because, you know, this team has no quit in it. And the first two callers tonight, those guys are awesome. They remind me of guys that I kind of worked with in the oil patch. And if you're into hockey up there and you've got long 12-hour days, if you're into hockey with other guys, you can talk a lot. So those guys are incredible there. They're a funny start there. But my point I wanted to make was it was the Findaway Flames, I believe, where it was Hudler and maybe Talbot. It was like you're in. Is that the
who
combo that had that going on?
You mean the team 10 years ago?
No, I'm trying to remember the Flames team.
Yeah, that was like a decade ago. That was a decade ago. It was they had Jonas Hiller and Kari Rahmo were the goalies.
Oh,
Okay, yeah, and it was basically, would have been Sutter, right? And it was like, you win, you're in, basically. That's kind of how the program went.
That was, Bob Hartley was the head coach of that year.
Oh, I'm way off. Okay, but yeah, I remember it was like a win, you're in kind of mentality. And like from what I'm observing, I think I've watched every game, but sometimes I work in the evening, so I haven't been observing it. But are they going like, you know, they're going one start?
They're just rotating, you know? Man. They're just flip-flopping. Results aren't really playing into what their decision is. They're just going back and forth, they're getting both guys lots of ice time. And yeah, they're so it's been back and forth, and you can almost take to the bank that it'll be Wolf on Saturday against Winnipeg.
Okay, yeah, I just find it interesting because I remember that, like, you win, you're in. I think they made the playoffs that year. It seemed to work, but it's just like, you know, like Ladar, like you know, being in the game there, like he looked like a completely different goalie that last half of the game. He just got that. He got something in him, and like that one stop with the butt of his stick, like the guy was saying flip-flopping around, but you know, him flip-flopping around made that save, and you know, like made that the game would have been much different had he not made that save. And you know, the crowd was into that. And it reminds me back to, I mean, I'm in a hockey pool, like a Yahoo pool. And I remember looking up goalie duos, because you usually want two goalies, so you see what teams they are. Calgary was winning 30th overall. And I actually pulled up the article, Daily Faceoff, in front of me here. And do you want me to read it to you? Because it's a pretty interesting take they take on the, it's just a small paragraph here, what they have a take
sure.
on.
Yeah,
on
go
the
for
teams
it.
Here. Okay, yeah, so it's, will we rank the Calgary Flames significantly higher a year from now? It all depends on what Wolf shows. He owned Major Junior. He owned the AHL. Finally, the highly regarded prospects get an open runway with Jacob Markstrom traded. But Wolf, undersized at 6 foot, didn't perform great in his 17-game look last season. With the Flames in rebuild mode, he isn't going to get a ton of help. Given backup Ladar is coming off a terrible year in which he ranked dead last in the NHL in goals, saved above expected per 60. I don't know what that means. This duo has a lot to prove in 24-25, and yet betting against Wolf, who has defied expectations at every level, doesn't usually end well. And the only teams that were below them were Columbus.
Darren, you still there? And I think we've lost Darren. That's unfortunate we lost Darren. But I guess what I would say is that, yes, there's zero doubt that we're talking about a goaltending tandem that was very unproven coming into the year. That is very true. However, they've played very well. And I mean, look, they're not going to be in a situation where they are, they're not going to all of a sudden prove what they are. They're probably not going to be able to do that this year. Or at least into the second half of the season. It's going to take some time. You know, 7 games is still just a small sample size. I understand why they were ranked low in that poll, but I also think that we're talking about a goaltending tandem that's got a lot of potential. So that's how I would talk about this goaltending tandem, and we'll see where it goes from there, and we'll see where this goes. I mean, through 7 games, 7 quality starts is the way that I would phrase it for this goaltending duo of Ladar and Wolf. Well, unfortunately, we couldn't say goodbye to Darren the normal way. I think we have some sort of technical issue back at the station that made that happen. So I apologize to Darren, but appreciate the call, and that'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. That'll wrap us up on the text line tonight. Great input, as always. Really good Flames talk post-game here following the first regulation loss of the city, of the season, 4-2 against the Carolina Hurricanes. How did we get to this point? Well, time for the final summary. As Carolina never trailed in this game, they open up a 1-0 first period lead on a Seth Jarvis power play goal. Jarvis with his second from Sebastian Aho and Marty Natchez at 12:29, and it was 1-0 Carolina after 20 minutes of play. They'd add a couple more early in the second. First, Jack Ross, the Roslovic makes it 2-0 with his third of the year. Roslovic from Brent Burns and Andre Svechnikov at the 41-second mark. And then a minute 15 later, Marty Natchez scores to make it 3-0 on the eventual game winner. Natchez's third from Shane Gostisbehere and Jesperi Kotkaniemi at a minute 59. And 22 minutes into this game, it was 3-0 Carolina. However, Calgary starts to claw back. 12:59 of the second, Jake Bean makes it 3-1. Bean's first of the year and first as a Flame comes from Connor Zary and Michael Backlund at 12:59. To the third period we go, where the Flames get back within one. Jonathan Huber Huberdeau, with less than 7 minutes to go, makes it 3-2. Huberdeau, his fourth from Justin Kirkland and Rasmus Anderson at 13:05, and it was 3-2. Hurricanes kind of were able to calm it down from there, though, and they seal it into the empty net with less than 90 seconds to go. Eric Robinson makes it 4-2, his first from the goaltender Pyotr Kochetkov at 18:43 into the empty net, got us to our 4-2 final score. Final shots were 43-31 in favor of Carolina. Flames go 0-2 on the power play. Hurricanes 1-3 with the man advantage. Three stars in the building tonight. Number three, Connor Zary. Number two, Sebastian Aho. And your number one star tonight with a goal, an assist, and he did get the game winner, was Marty Natchez. Hardest working Flame is selected by Derek Wills tonight was Nazem Kadri. With the loss, Flames fall to 5-1-1. They're back in action Saturday at home to Winnipeg. Carolina improves to 4-2-0. They're back in action Saturday on the road in Seattle. That is your final summary. Now, for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for play-by-play broadcaster Derek Wills, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Randy Opperman, for our reporter Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up is Saturday to wrap up this three-game homestand against the Winnipeg Jets. Note the start time. It is a 5 o'clock face off, which means we're on the air at 4 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Your final score from the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight: Flames fall in regulation for the first time, 4-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.